Orange. TO 4 LAO Mobile.
Jim? Bernie Snyder just outside doing some work, and I come in and notice the motion detector on the stairway. LED lights are dead, so I'm just sitting here changing that. And then I'm going to go out and check the amp draw on the chicken pen fans.
That's like you got a busy morning there. I hadn't talked to you in a while. How you been?
Fine. I don't like this horrid heat. Says it's 80 degrees and 83 degrees heat index, 73% humidity, so that puts the dew point way up there. And we got 7 mile an hour peaks with 2 mile an hour steady out of the south. 2970, so everything looks like it's on an even keel. How's your day going, Jim?
Around trying to do some little errands I've been putting off for a while here. Got to run to the recycling center and go get something fixed at a shoe repair shop. But how's the chickens holding up in all this heat?
Older group out there is laying 2 to 3 eggs every other day. But the new ones, those speckled Sussex, are probably about 7 months old, and they're laying 6 to 7 eggs a day, but they're small.
Well, for sure, I know it got hot in Kansas, pretty bad heat sometimes, so wonder how that compares to the chicken laying that happens in Kansas.
That chickens till we come down here, and Bernice mentioned it to our daughter, and all at once they had this coop in their driveway they were building, and it says Mom's Coop that they had engraved on the front of it. And then it had an Army friend, a helicopter pilot who's retired. He put it on his big trailer and brought it up here, and then we added a dog run behind it, and everything's pretty automated out there. I have timers on the lights. In the winter, I have heated water containers. And right now, I got 5-gallon buckets, and you just turn the water on at the house, and it fills those up to a float. And then as they peck the little cups down there, it refills them. But I'd have no comparison except I don't know. The humidity and the heat up there was bad, too. I'd almost say they get more severe heat and more severe cold, but I don't know as it would be a measurable amount. Now, right now, severe drought in parts of the central United States, particularly Dallas and around that area.
In the early 80s, the show Dallas...
children then, and we never allowed that to come on our set, but yes, I remember it.
If they had out there going, who shot JR?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember that scene.
Pilot training, and let me tell you what, there was one Friday afternoon where I was at the end of the runway with engines running in a T-37, and when we were getting ready for takeoff and we closed the canopy, you talk about sweat. I'm telling you. And then you get up above altitude, and of course, you get cold air, and it just freezes you to death. And then you come back down in the heat. It was so hot that Friday afternoon that Dallas was playing that Who Shot JR, that I had a Ford Mustang, and I drove back to Fort Worth to Carswell Air Force Base to visit my wife. And I had to turn the heater on to keep the car from overheating.
Wow, that's bad. Well, I've never had any comparison, but I remember sitting on the Coca-Cola pop case in the front of my dad's old grocery store there in the late 50s or possibly early 60s, and seeing where it come through the window there on the front of the store at 115.
And in the summertime out that way, when the alert facility we had, we'd go sit on the front porch, you know, because what else you got to do when you're just hanging around on alert, and look towards the west where Dodge City and Gage, Oklahoma were. One afternoon we had a thunderstorm that topped out over 75,000 feet.
Well, I remember when we were driving back to Kansas when I got out of service, and we come through Amarillo, and we got 3/4-inch hail, and I'd never seen hail that big. And so I just pulled over to the side of the road in our old 62 Ford and stopped and let it beat on it, but it never dented it too much. But my brother-in-law lived in Wichita for many, many years, and they had some out there that was, if you held your fist out, it just about fill your fist, and it just destroyed their sunroom.
It was impressive to me, especially at night around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The thunderstorms and the lightning were just unbelievable.
It's some other state this year set the record for the most lightning, and I can't remember what the other state was, but normally Florida, you know, you've seen satellite pictures of that. They're the ones that have the sprites and the horrible thunderstorms and that down there with lightning. But another state took part of that record this year. I kind of was thinking it might have been Georgia, but I would be more than likely inclined to say Texas or something like that, because when it gets to heights above or up to 40 to 50,000 feet, look out. That's going to be a bad one.
You just look at the thunderstorms out there and the water in the front line when it came towards you. Underneath the clouds was just green. It was just a really impressive display of nature.
I've got pictures of some clouds back in Kansas that would scare you to death. I mean, horrible looking things. And it seemed like when you got near the tornadoes or when the warnings were going off, that you would see that green. And I think it was actually from the wind stirring up the junk in the atmosphere. But that even made it more terrifying. This is Gerald T.R.
We took off out of McConnell one day in a tanker doing a rendezvous. We were going to rendezvous with some F-111s, and we were doing, everybody had their head down in the radar because we were trying to get to a particular point, and we weren't watching what was in front of us, and we ran right into a thunderstorm. And I'm going to tell you what, it about turned a zebra roots way but loose. Luckily, we didn't get the airplane damaged, you know, but it just didn't show up well on the radar. And it was, the whole windscreen just turned instantly milk white. It was just unbelievable.
This is Gerald T.R. Well, Jim, have you ever been in hail in one of those 135s or whichever one you was flying at the time?
No, but it might have been inadvertent, but we had a rule that you were to avoid thunderstorms if you were below 230, flight level 230, you had to be $10 miles away. And if it was above 230, you had to be $20 miles away. So that generally kept us away from, you know, it's not just running into it there. That thunderstorms kick that stuff up out of the top, and it'll come out you. You can be in clear air and run into it.
Yeah, that's just scary. I just wondered if it could damage engines and that, but never had that experience. We did have a chief, I think it was a senior chief, break a hip one time. They hit some clear air turbulence in the D3, and I guess he went clear up against the ceiling, the bulkhead, you know, and come down. He wasn't in his chair. But that's bad. I've seen some pretty rough turbulence, you know, because we flew at low level, but it can occur anywhere. And getting around those thunderstorms is a real good idea. I'd say that for sure.
Native air occurrence, you know. In T-38s, we had a pretty impressive rate of climb in the airplane. But they always told us out west, don't ever try to out-climb a thunderstorm because their rates of climb can exceed 6,000 feet per minute. And it's like, it's, when you see it, it's just like it's boiling. It's an impressive display.
You always got to see the most beautiful sunsets. And Steve, my nephew that buys a 787, he'll send some to us sometimes. And it's just beautiful. And we, as crew members, didn't often get to see that.
I am paid for some pretty impressive scenery for me while I was in service. That was for sure.
Well, and the radars have improved so much anymore with the synthetic aperture radars and phased array and all of that. And I noticed the range on that 787 was 340 miles. And when Steve sent me a picture of that. Oh, by the way, I got a picture from a friend this morning that I'll have to send you. And I forgot about you this morning. I sent a couple of them out. And it was of a new Israeli shoulder-launched missile. And it's got white phosphorus in it and a few other nasty things. And they had an aggressor coming straight at them with a tank. And they took it out. And it gives some specs on it. And that, I believe I'd pass on the tank MOS.
A whole lot of sense to me, you know. All you gotta do is watch some of those movies from World War II, that one that's called Fury. If that doesn't open your eyes, I don't know what does.
The guys that drove them things, they called them a Ronson or a Zippo. I can't remember which. But you know, and I know, that was the famous lighter like my dad used to carry.
One of those, just impressive. If you don't have air cover, though, it's hard to get tanks on the ground. All you got to do is look at what happened at the end of the Iraqi war there, where we caught those guys going back on that long line. The A-10s just chewed them up.
30 millimeters with was it 30 millimeter or 30 caliber? Anyways, they were uranium intensified projectiles. Wow, they were nasty on tanks. I got a cartridge sitting here on my shelf from an F-16. It's inert, of course, but compared to 50 caliber, I wouldn't want to be in front of it.
They say.
I have sitting next to it's a live round of armor piercing. It's my friend that passed away, K4SUG, Ray. Yeah, he gave that to me, and he was in the Korean War. And it's sitting next to a 30 millimeter out of the F-16, which is like a bottle opener now, but you can't tell it unless you turn it around. And I guess the ones on those A-10s were much worse. They just made hash out of those guys over there.
Uranium rounds are just really intense, but they sure cut through armor and steel like nobody's business. But that was all designed to stop the Russians from coming down the Fulda Gap there in Germany. And stop the invasion. But even to this day, the Warthog is still an impressive platform, and the guys on the ground absolutely love it.
It's in a titanium bathtub, and they say that it feels like the airplane almost comes to a stop when you fire that thing. Wow. I've seen the ones out of the Puff the Magic Dragon over in Vietnam fire. And that's a beautiful sight at night, but I've never been around the A-10s except for we was up at Richards Gabar Air Force Base near Grandview, Missouri, right outside of Kansas City. And Steve was flying C-130s, and he took us to an air show that had the Blue Angels in it, and they did an exhibition of a Harrier. And then they had the special team there from the Air Force flying the A-10s. Oh my, that was a beautiful sight.
A friend of mine, his nickname was Muck, but Muck Brown, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Brown, he was a friend of mine in the ROTC program, but he was an instructor in A-10s, and he's buried up here in Waynesville. He passed away from cancer as a young guy, and so a lot of, there's some suspicion that guys flying that weapon system and some of the other fighters have higher rates of cancer than the general population because they were exposed to the emissions from the radars that they were flying. But anyways, he trained so many people in the A-10. When he passed away at his funeral, I went to it. There were general officers and colonels like you wouldn't believe that came to his funeral. But he was such a good instructor. After he retired, they recalled him back to active duty, and they sent him overseas as an advisor to some of the special ops forces.
That's a proud heritage, I'll say. That's amazing. Gosh, I've never been around any admirals that you speak of. You'd see them. Stop on the side of the sidewalk and salute the cars that went by if it was a flag officer. But they just never shook hands but with one. And he was in Aldi's in Greer, South Carolina. And he was Army.
I'm going to have to run here. I have got to one of my places I need to drop an item off. It was good to catch up with you. And we'll do that again. And I did get your emails, by the way, so I've just been real busy here. I actually have to put an antenna up. The line that supports my nice wire antenna broke with yesterday evening, and so now I'm going to have to get my slingshot out again.
Well, everything has a finite number, including us, Jim. And so, thank the good Lord you're able to get out there and do it. Anyways, we'll see you later. KA4LAO. Bernice just come in, too, from out in the yard, and she looks hot and sweaty. She's been spreading straw on the tomato plants. Take care, Jim. Good to hear you. 73. This is N0TR clear.
Tom, thanks for the comeback, and KO4LAO is clear.